Good this morning. Sitting in the front row, you get it from both sides, man, front and back. Y'all sounded awesome. Well, it is good to be here. We'll be releasing this morning for Children's Church.
I'm just going to do it back here.
She's going to do it back there. And Julie is ready. Miss Julie's ready for you. We got some energy today. I like it. Y'all keep that going for the next little bit. Right? Respond, yell, whatever you got to do. Just don't get up and run out. Right? Makes me feel like we got to have conversations later. We have been in Psalms now for the last couple months. And every time I think we are finishing this and probably getting ready to step into Proverbs, we get one more ring of the Psalms. We're there again today. As I was reading this week and just kind of letting things settle on my heart on the things that you and I are going through, life as we know it, what we're looking around, what we're seeing, the people we love, it dawned on me. And then I read Psalm 4 and I was like, oh, I can't believe we missed it the first time through. You and I need peace. Amen. The 20th theme that starts with the letter P. Giving you my best. I haven't rhymed. What is it? An alliteration where you use the same letter? Somebody, some English person, give me something. Yes, English for the win. Right? I haven't given you this much Baptist pastor in almost 15 years, and here we are, theme 20. Peace. You read through the Psalms, over and over and over. These waves of goodness, of exhortation, of push, of real life. And I hope you're getting that. Like we have spent, I don't know when we started Job, but since the moment we started Job, you and I have talked about real life every Sunday that I've been here. It's just been life. It's hard. It's nasty at times. It's glorious at times. And if you take the week and you talk to three or four different people, you'll get the mountaintop and you'll get the valley, and they'll be in two back-to-back conversations, and you're just living the waves. And in all of that, in the good, in the bad, you and I need peace. The Jewish word, the idea of shalom, right? How they greet, how they exit, shalom. Peace. Jerusalem, right? The Prince of Peace, the place of peace, the King of Peace. Our hearts need it, our culture needs it, our homes need it, our church needs it, and yet God gives it in abundance. If you remember last week, we were in Psalm 139, verse 16, we talked about the idea of purpose. The Lord has your days mapped out. He's got them numbered. Isn't that a glorious truth for you and I? Man, in uncertain days, when everything feels like it's falling apart, when you and I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread, still holds. And until you and I are done, we're here. And there's something for you to do. You see, our days are never without some mission. Our days are never without something that the Lord wants to do in us and through us to be a blessing to the place around us and to bring Him honor and glory. And that is one of my favorite things about the Christian religion. The Christian way of thought, putting our life in the hands of God and saying, okay, use me. One of my favorite pieces is you are never useless. You are never washed up. You're never set on a shelf. There is something for you to do. And if it were not so, God would take you home. Because even Paul would say, it's greater for me to be with him than it is to be with you, and yet I am still here. That's what he tells one of the churches. Why? Because it's better for you that I'm here. Isn't that wild? You and I have a purpose. In a world that is filled, in a country that is filled with everything but purpose, you can see where we're headed. It's harsh, it's sad, it's painful, it's disorienting for so many. The one thing they need is the one thing they don't have. Entertainment, pleasure, fun, free time, Netflix, YouTube, access to friends. We got it all. And yet we've come up short with the idea that there is a purpose you and I have. And with that purpose comes the idea that you and I get to live it in passion. That was one of the other themes we covered last week. You get to live with passion because God is passionate about you. If I could number your thoughts, Lord, they would be more than the sand on the seashore. That's not talking about the psalmist's thoughts to God. That's God's thoughts about the psalmist. And you and I can say, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like nobody's paying attention. Listen, the Lord is thinking about you constantly. If you could number his thoughts, they would be more than the sand on earth. He knew you before you were born. He knit you together in your mother's womb. At the time of Adam, when he scooped him together, you were there. And he has put you and I wanted to say dumped, but I caught myself. He has placed you and I in 2023 to be part of the good. You see, the kingdom is coming through us. Jesus is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work through us. He is bringing that kingdom here. You are bringing his peace to this world right now. And of all the times in history when you or I could have been born, we think we should have been born, whatever else it is, of all the times in history, he has placed us here because the mission is right now for me and you. And I think so many of us in the Christian denomination would look and think, man, my soul would have been better suited maybe 100 years ago. Now my hands and back, maybe not, right? They might have hurt a little more and might have been a little more whining than they were accustomed to back then, but my soul feels like it would have fit better. And yet that's not the case. If it were so, I would have to charge God with foolishness. And we dare not do that. So you and I get to live with purpose. We get to live with passion. Are you passionate? Do you wake up in the morning and enjoy the life that you're living? If not, practice that discipline. Roll out of bed and start thanking God for some stuff. Even if it's just a couple, even if everything else has fallen apart, get into the discipline of, and we're reminded every year about this time of year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's all about being thankful. And then by New Year's, we've dropped our resolution and we're back to griping. Practice the discipline. Set your mind and your heart on seeing good things, honoring God with what he's done. And man, if you and I do that, there will be a passion take over. A passion for your life, for your family, for your community, for our church. There will be a passion take root. And every day will be fun. An adventure. Probably harder than you would want, but guess what passionate people have to do? They have to engage. So it's going to be hard. You're going to be wore out. Man, you're going to sleep better. The meals are going to feel good because that belly's going to rumble a little bit more. Why? Because you've been living. You've been going at it, loving people, pouring yourself out, honoring God. You and I get to live not only with a purpose, but with passion. And finally, in Psalm 49 last week, we talked about the pinnacle. The pinnacle of what? Psalm 49 says, no man can ransom another. No man can ransom his life. No man can ransom another life. And then it says later on in that passage, but my God is going to ransom me. Isn't that a cool prophecy? Isn't that an amazing prophecy? But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Beautiful promise. Beautiful promise that you and I get to live, to enjoy, not just to understand, but to walk in it. You know the difference between knowing a fact and actually living it out? The difference between, like, yeah, I'm married and I enjoy my marriage. The difference between I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a grandma, and I actually enjoy time with my children. There's a big difference here between the knowledge you and I have of what's available and actually living it out. Purpose, passion. Today's theme is peace. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 4. We've read this one before. It's one of my favorites. I told you that before. And I was so engrossed. I mean, I missed this low-hanging fruit. This fruit was right there, and I missed it because I was so engrossed with chapter 4, pleasure. Remember what we talked about that? You have given more joy to my heart than when their wine and their grain overflows. I was so engrossed with that. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture that I missed peace. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? There are many who are begging for peace. What is that question they're asking? Who will show me some good? Will it ever let up? There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. One of my favorite verses. And then verse 8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Can you be any more vulnerable when you're asleep? When you lay down and close your eyes, can you be any more vulnerable in this life than to be laying there asleep? Have you ever been scared right in the middle of the night? You're vulnerable. You're exposed. And yet for the psalmist, what happens with that peace? In peace, I lay down, like the process of getting ready, and I fall asleep. How many people do you and I know have trouble sleeping? Part of it sometimes is something physical. Part of it is maybe you've overexerted that day. Part of it is there's no peace. You lay down and your mind is running. It's wandering off on things. How many of you do that? Start thinking about worst case scenario. You lay down. Oh my goodness, I'm planting the next 10 years. I'm plotting them out. Doesn't look good. Forecast ain't looking good, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, oh, my. Like, well, the kids don't go to college they need to go to, and they don't get a job. Like, dude, they're three. Chill. Right? Like, calm down. Take a deep breath. How many people do we know have trouble sleeping? Sometimes it's medical. Sometimes there's a need that needs to be diagnosed, but I'm here to tell you the overflow, the rampant nature of it comes from stress. And what's the remedy of stress? Peace? Faith? Being overwhelmed with the idea that your heavenly Father is in control and he's not a jerk? How about that one? That he's good? That he loves you? That he's detail-oriented, that he's paying attention, that like the psalmist said, you've been thinking about me over and over and over. How do I think? Why do I think I'm going to get lost? You're constantly, your mind is constantly on me. Your heart is constantly turned toward me. In your most vulnerable state, how do you and I navigate rest? How do you fall asleep? Some of you make other people angry with how you fall asleep. Not because it's noisy, but because it's like 13 seconds. There you go. Don't shake your head. I'm not telling stories. Don't shake your head. I'm not telling. Yeah, like, are you awake? No, I'm not awake. I was asleep. Hit the pillow. We're gone. How do you and I sleep? Can you downshift? Can you rest? The peace of God just coming over your life, coming over your heart. What happens when you're not? Do you have a plan for when you're not at peace? We just start talking. I remember, it's funny, like so many things that we've learned, so many things that we thought in church culture, especially coming through the 90s and stuff as a young man, and you're trying to navigate your faith and all this other stuff. And I just thought it was the worst thing in the world to fall asleep while you were praying. Just the worst thing in the world. How could the Lord hear? You just fell asleep. And then it was mentioned to me one time, like, can you imagine a sweeter way for a child to fall asleep? Now, I don't know, maybe it gets better, but like when they're three, just go to sleep. Like, man, we're 45 minutes into this. Stop talking. I love you. I'll see you in the morning. I want to sleep too. No, God doesn't operate like, he ain't tired too. But what happens? Like, can you imagine that? I'm stressed. And I can play it over in my mind with my limited resources. And I can think about all the possible scenarios of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I need to do this, in the morning I need to do this. But there's like one practical thing you can do to help you sleep. Have you ever read that it says to get up and make a to-do list? Like if you're pondering stuff and it's going and going and going, just get out of bed, go over and write out a to-do list. Just give your mind an opportunity to downshift like it's going to be there tomorrow. Okay, the other thing you and I can do is totally spiritual. Start praying. Like, God, I'm going to hand you this stuff because it's wearing me out. I don't know all the different variables of what's going to happen. I don't even know if I'm going to feel good when I roll out of bed in the morning. What I do know is you're already there. You love me. You have a plan for me. You are taking care of me. You were doing it from the time you knit me together in my mother's womb, from that first day. Everything that should have happened to me that didn't, everything that could have happened to me that didn't, you were there taking care of it. Every dumb thing that should have cost me dearly, you were there taking care of it. Every bad decision, every time I wasn't looking at the road, every time I sneezed, every time my kid was throwing a fit in the back and I'm distracted driving, all that stuff, he was there. And in that moment, in your moment, practically get up, make yourself a little list, lay back down, and then talk to your father about what's going on. The psalmist says, in his life, he got peace when he laid down. Going into the bedroom, he had peace. When he laid down and fell asleep, he had peace. Not because of who he was or what he could accomplish. He had those things because he knew who the Lord was. What is this kind of peace? This kind of peace is the peace of God. In peace I will both lie down and fall asleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How about Psalm 29 with me real quick? Psalm 29 says this, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in his splendor of holiness. As we were singing some of the songs this morning, this is what was playing over in my mind, like the psalmist writing, him singing, them singing, us singing. Some of the same stuff we're being coached into honoring and worshiping the God that really is. Give him what is due. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in the temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people, and may the Lord bless his people with peace. The birthright of the Christian is peace. And when it feels shaken, a gift from God is peace. So what does it sound like to talk to God about the need of peace? You can hand him all of these things, and then you can also leverage his word and his promise in your time of prayer. Lord, Dad, speak peace over my heart. Speak peace over my mind. Give me peace. Give me that gift. Give me what is yours. What's the Bible say about the Father that you and I serve? Does He give good gifts or bad gifts? He gives good gifts. Now, practically speaking, spiritually, when are times you and I should not have peace? When would God remove that from us? What are some areas that you and I need to be navigating as disciples when peace will be gone and it's a good thing that it is? You can be aware. When there's danger, how about that? Is the Lord warning you of something? How about this one? Is there sin? You think the Lord gives peace when you and I are disobeying what we know to be right? What would He be doing if He gave peace while you and I were walking toward a disaster? He'd be setting us up for failure. There's danger. Something is not right. He will rob that peace for good reason. Get your antenna up. Be paying attention. Be looking. Be hearing. Be watching. Be seeing what is going on. You and I need to be trying to kind of see around curves. What's going to happen next, Lord? So there are moments when this peace is gone, but you and I can ask for that blessing of peace. Then if He doesn't give it, dive back in and see what's going on. Holy Spirit, am I grieving You? Is there something that You want to talk to me about that You've not yet? Or that You're trying and I'm not listening? Have I quenched You in some way? Do I need to repent? Why is there no peace? I'm a mess. Help me. Or maybe the Lord's saying there's danger. That person you're getting ready to go into business with. That person your kids are hanging out with. That person that wants to kind of weasel themselves into your family. That family member that's going to be at your house or expect you to be at theirs here in a couple weeks. And you're laying there and you're just thinking, no peace. No peace. No peace. Why? Maybe it's a warning. Maybe God is doing you a favor, protecting you, making you smarter than you should be, a little more shrewd than you and I naturally are. And it comes when He takes that peace. So you and I start sorting through it. We start talking to our Father. What is going on? And He navigates properly with us. It's a blessing and a gift. His peace. Ask for it. How about Psalm 34? Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this. O taste and see that the Lord is good. We've read through this one before too, and boy, it's a beauty.